Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Oregon is a state that enjoys certain electoral protections that other states have struggled to maintain, like automatic voter registration and mail-in ballots. But the election process in the state is far from ideal. Campaigns in Oregon are among the most expensive in the nation. Up until last November, Oregon was one of five states in the nation that allowed unlimited campaign contributions. According to Open Secrets, over $109 million were donated to campaigns in Oregon in 2020. Ballot Measure 107, however, opened the door for campaign finance reform in the state. It was passed by an overwhelming majority of voters, 78%. It amends the state constitution and now allows state and local jurisdictions to make new laws limiting campaign contributions, creating disclosure requirements, and public financing options. Measure 107 made the opportunity for reform possible, and now two bills in the Oregon legislature aim to tackle it. I spoke with members of the Honest Elections Coalition to learn more about the legislation they're supporting and the importance of campaign finance reform in Oregon.
I'm Christina Nieves. I'm the Associate Director of Common Cause Oregon. We're an organization focused on really giving people the power to create influence and pushing to make the idea of democracy a reality, which really, if we're honest, has never really happened.
My name is Natalie Pallavicini, and I'm on the steering committee of the Pacific Green Party, but I'm representing here the Honest Elections campaign, which includes groups like the League of Women Voters, Common Cause, and parties like Independent Party, Progressive Party, the Pacific Green Party, the Democratic Party. And we would love to have someone from the Republican Party who's really interested in campaign finance reform.
I'm Beth Rotman. I'm the Director of Money and Politics and Ethics for Common Cause. I do a lot of work on small donor democracy. I also come to this work as a former founding director of the Small Donor Democracy Program for the state of Connecticut.
Great. Well, thank you all so much for taking the time to speak with me. So the Honest Elections Coalition in Oregon is pushing for campaign finance reform in the Oregon legislature. And it's my understanding that there are two competing bills under consideration right now. Before we dive into all of that, what can you tell me about the current campaign finance standards in Oregon?
So it is very easy because in Oregon, there are absolutely no regulations. So there's no limit, nothing to regulate money. It is the second worst state in the country in terms of money flowing into elections, and we need to absolutely change that. In 2020, spending on Oregon legislature races exceeded $35 million. It is just unbelievable how much money flows into Oregon elections. It is our little secret.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just echo exactly what Natalie said. We're actually, unfortunately, Oregon has been known as the wild, wild west of campaign finance. Our constitution, before the passage of Measure 107, which happened this last November, our constitution prohibited basically any reform, with the exception of opt-in programs, which can only work in certain circumstances. So as Natalie said, Oregon is one of the most expensive places to run for office.
And so without limits on campaign contributions, obviously that has an impact. What specifically does that do in terms of electoral and policy outcomes? Why is it important to try to push for limits on these types of things?
With Oregon being, again, as I said, one of the most expensive places to run for office, means that there's some extremely disparate impacts on who can run for office and who feels encouraged or inspired to participate in our election process, right? There's been many things, I think, in the past 4 years, probably more, that have discouraged folks from participating, from voting, from thinking that they could run for office because, you know, money is a huge factor. And that's not democracy. That's not democracy. So really what it does is it just continues the status quo of inequality, and communities who are really impacted by the individuals who are elected into office, who are impacted, they're not at the table, and they don't want to be at the table. So without contribution limits, it really is just pushing people out in reality and in perception.
And I think it's also extremely dangerous for us and for our own survival. When you have a company like Nike who can spend $1 million to defeat like a recent transportation bill, or big money who just totally erases the possibility of having genetically modified foods labeled, it really puts into question what is our democracy for, you know, whose interests is it representing? And when we look at the wildfires, the global warming, and all of these social inequities, it's a system that's not working. It's just not working for us. And we cannot have such huge amounts of money. Money is influencing how we live and how we organize our society. But money is not speech. Money is property. We should not be making legislation for corporations who don't live. Corporations are legal entities, and it's a total twisting of our system. So we need to bring real campaign finance reform contribution to Oregon so that we can have laws that really advance the interests of people, of you and I.
I always start by saying that politics costs money, and no one understands that better than the special interests and the wealthy that are very happy to keep paying for our elections. They're very happy to write those checks because they understand that they are getting a wonderful return on their investment, because when they write those checks for $10,000, $20,000, they know that they are often getting millions and millions on the other side of that. And there are stories and stories and stories of that, that is very well documented. So they're happy to keep doing that. And it's on us, on we the people, to stop that runaway campaign spending and stop them from being able to pay for our elections. Because when we the people are able to do this for ourselves, we're also going to be able to have all of us, the sort of everyday Americans, represented by our elected leaders and have our own policies, the sort of large swath of us, represented and our interests better represented by our elected leaders.
So there's two different bills in the Oregon legislature right now that are trying to address campaign finance reform, which the door has just been opened up to, as was mentioned. So I want to first talk about the one, which, correct me if I'm wrong, your coalition is supporting, which is House Bill 3343. What are the new restrictions that bill would create if it gets passed?
The uniqueness of House Bill 3343 is that it puts real limits on money, not only money flowing in, but also money flowing out. And one of the big important considerations is, where does the money come in and how is that money hidden or distributed or funneled to undermine campaign finance reform? And that's one of the bigger problems of House Bill 2680. House Bill 3343, which is a bill that the Honest Elections Campaign wants, establishes specific limits on both money going out and money coming in. Money coming in must be identified and attached to individual donors. So there is a lot of transparency, and there are limits that are very workable for caucuses, small donor committees, individuals, and it covers the entire gamut of both money coming in and money coming out. It is much to put it in those broader terms and to talk about the problems with the current bill that is being pushed.
I mean, to speak to that a little bit, what have been the challenges in getting that bill to gain traction and getting it pushed through the legislature?
I think the challenges are, well, let's start with the fact that everybody is virtual right now, so advocacy is not the same as it has been. I think that our legislators have done a really good job in trying to finesse and figure out, like, what do we do? How do we continue this so crucial and important process during this session? How do we do that? So I think that's definitely been one challenge. And I also think the challenge is that it's a complex issue. We know that things change year by year by year. And, you know, it's up to our elected officials to figure that out, which I do think it is the appropriate place for, you know, the for Measure 107 to be understood and to be put together. I think the state is the best place to do that. So I think those are two big challenges. Another challenge I would say is that, you know, just like difference of opinion and difference of experience and also difference of who your communities are as well. I mean, that's the legislative process, right? So with COVID, I think that it's become even more emphasized as a difficult process.
I think that one of the big problems in passing a bill that offers real campaign finance reform is that people are just so used to big money in politics that they don't see how they can affect politics without having access to a large fund, like a large check, like a single large check to fund your staff or to fund mailouts or things like that. And so there is a lot of resistance from groups that would otherwise be our allies or, you know, and regardless of the political party or the political persuasion, there's a lot of resistance to moving to a smaller donations because the large donation is just so easy. It's just so much easier to secure funding that way. And people are just used to doing politics by receiving a larger check. And when you have campaign finance reform and real limits, it just really refocuses how your campaigns and how you're going to organize your campaigns, which is what we want. We want a new system. So we need to break with the old mode of operation. And that's really a big resistance because there's people who are vested in the system just don't want to change it. It's going to require a lot of effort, but we need that.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I believe our coalition, the Honest Election Coalition and other folks as well who are well-versed in this believe is that we need three things. We need contribution limits. We need meaningful disclosure requirements. And then we also need a public campaign finance system. Those three things go together. And, you know, maybe Beth can talk about this later, but those three things have been shown to make huge differences in who is engaged, who is able to be at the table. So when you have, you know, a public campaign finance system, you are able to include more people. When I used to work at the City of Portland for Commissioner Amanda Fritz, and we saw huge differences just with the first iteration of our public campaign finance program. We saw the first Latina voted into a commissioner using the system. And we also saw that 50% of people who donated to the public campaign finance system, who donated to a candidate that was participating in that system, 50% of them had never donated to a candidate in their own city. So there's lots of changes and lots of hope that can be accomplished and renewed when we have contribution limits and we have a public campaign finance system.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll say that picking up on the positive note of that, which I would love to echo, in Connecticut, after very sweeping changes happened with contribution limits combined with small donor democracy program / also called public financing. We saw ordinary citizens more empowered to participate in their democracy. We saw a real shift in who ran for office. We saw people better represented by their elected officials. We saw races become more competitive. We saw really local small donors matter. We saw the program really well participated in. We saw really people used it, which makes a huge difference because these are voluntary programs. You can't be forced to use a public campaign financing program. But, if they're used, then that's what really makes a difference. We saw people use them. And the high participation rate made a very big difference because then when people use these programs, it means they're not taking the large contributions. And then when they're actually taking these small donor contributions, we saw a connection to having better policy outcomes, meaning more policies that favor large swaths of the sort of everyday residents of the state. So this was a huge shift. We looked at this over the first decade after implementation of the program. That said, just as, you know, my colleagues have been pointing out, I mean, this is not an easy change to have happen, and it's not surprising that there are people pushing back, because this is not a sort of a window dressing thing. This is more of a really shaking of the ground. This is transformative change, and it doesn't happen easily, and it certainly doesn't happen without a real push. So it's not surprising that there are people pushing against it. And of course, I work now as part of the national program, but I've also worked in a lot of states. But you always have the same number of election law experts in the state house as you have, you know, members of the legislature. Every single person understands how it works now. And so it's very difficult to make these transformative changes, because you really have a lot of people who understand it, which is a good thing, but it also means a lot of people negotiating to get things done.
Yeah, and I wanted to piggyback on what Beth was saying. That is why we need people, you, to call your representative and ask for House Bill 3343, that you really want campaign finance reform, and you also want the public option of House Bill 2680. I mean, you need to get involved. It's not going to happen without the grassroots. I mean, we need to call Rachel's office. We need to call Senator Warren's office. We need to be active. If we want campaign finance reform, and remember that 78% of Oregonians voted in favor of this, so this is beyond party affiliation or, you know, political views, we have to be involved. We have to contact right now our elected officials. We want this.
Absolutely. And Common Cause Oregon right now, even, you know, in these last weeks, this small time that we have, we're really pushing forward to have people email and meet with their representatives. So if you go to OregonInfo@commoncause.org, if you write into that email and say, hey, I'm excited about this, I want to learn more, we'll definitely hook you up and get you connected with a way that you can be more involved, whether that's emailing or meeting with your representative or senator.
I want to ask briefly about the other bill in the Oregon legislature right now that's also trying to address campaign finance, which is House Bill 2680 or 2680, because that one puts some restrictions on campaign contributions, but there's also some interesting carve-outs within that. What would be the impact of that, and why is that not what the Honest Elections Coalition is supporting at this time?
The Honest Elections Campaign is pushing for House Bill 3343 for the campaign limits, because the problems with the House Bill 2680 are multiple. It does put some limits, but it has such huge loopholes that basically there are no limits for practical purposes. For example, it allows $50,000 in paid staff time from any corporation or membership organization, but there are no limits on the number of staff. And so you can funnel a lot of money in support in so-called paid staff to a campaign, basically defeating the purposes of campaign finance limits. It also allows passing money through a proliferation of corporations. So you can pass money through a corporation, but people can create an unlimited number of corporations and pass money that way. It also allows membership organizations to contribute up to $250 per person, but you can include donations from people from all over the United States. So organizations like the NRA, for example, could funnel $250 for each one of their members anywhere in the United States, completely defeating the purposes of campaign finance reform. And it's the same thing with unions. It's not or other organizations, membership organizations, like the AARP. which has, for example, 38 million members. So they could contribute up to like $9.5 billion per year to Oregon small donor committees. So House Bill 2680 has just really large holes in it, and it doesn't really propose to do campaign finance limits, but it's offering a public option, a public public financing of campaigns option.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything that Natalie said. With everything that happens, you know, in our governmental process, like this is the process. There will be amendments, there will be changes, there will be negotiations that occur, and you know, it's our job to flag these loopholes and these gaps that we feel that Oregonians deserve to have filled in. So definitely HB 2680, it does have a public campaign finance option, which is a program rather. That's great. We're super happy about that. And we really appreciate the leadership of Representative Salinas, who is, you know, the sponsor of HB 3343, and then Senator Golden, who's also been working on this for a really long time with SB 336. We are just immensely happy that all of this is happening, and also Representative Rayfield with 2680. There's going to be negotiations, and what we really hope is a whole solution to campaign finance reform, what the voters were promised when they pushed forward Measure 107.
So on a more macro level, thinking about all the different aspects of, you know, reform that we've talked about, campaign finance reform, public financing, why is it so difficult to get meaningful change passed? Obviously, there have been some success stories, but there's also a lot of piecemeal kind of things that get passed. So why is it that it's difficult to pass that through the legislature?
Well, I would start with, as Natalie mentioned earlier, changing the status quo is not an easy hill to climb, rather a mountain to climb. There are a lot of folks who are very well-intended and want to do good. And yet, you know, as we said before, running for office is extremely expensive in Oregon. They, you know, show up there as candidates and then elected officials, having gone through this very expensive and time-consuming race because they do want to help people. I truly believe that. And when you also put, you know, the burden, which is actually their responsibility, so like, yes, I understand that, of also governing at the same time, running a campaign and governing at the same time. I feel like having that conversation then about changing the system it could be very difficult, and it can be hard to it could be hard to, you know, finesse through.
Any change is very difficult. And so people who are working, who are functioning well within the system, are going to have to change how they function in order to be effective. And so nobody wants to do that. All of the investment that you've done in your creating your organization to be effective in the political and elections arena is going to have to be change and, readapted and readjusted, that's difficult. Change is difficult. But 78% of Oregonians and everybody across the country is fed up with how much money goes into the elections. We want that to stop, period. If we want it to stop, we have to be in the forefront asking for it. That's why we're pushing for House Bill 3343 in terms of campaign finance limits and the public option of 2680.
I think that what you'll find is that people who are really dedicated to democracy are dedicated to democracy. The Open and Accountable Elections Program at the City of Portland, it's the same story. There are two amazing staff there who will bend over backwards to make sure that both donors and candidates are fully informed, and they're not trying to be punitive, you know, about their approach. So I think there's just such heart in the work that can come from public campaign finance reform, campaign finance reform in general. Those people, they really mean what they say.
Yeah, and you know, I would like to mention that in the United States, a very small fraction of the population actually votes. So many people are disenfranchised and are not engaged in the political system because they feel that they have no impact in the system. And the United States has a huge place in the world, and what happens globally, it is really, I think that the experience that Beth is recounting and that Christine is recounting emphasize the fact that when you have really meaningful campaign finance reform coupled with disclosure and a public funding option, we do see a resurgence of people getting involved in their community. And we want that. If Alaska passed campaign finance reform and states like Kansas, Montana, Connecticut, Colorado have passed contribution limits to legislators of $500, $200, $250. The contribution limits for governor in Alaska, in Colorado, is about $500. In New Hampshire, $250. West Virginia, $1,000. Kansas, $2,000. So we can do this in Oregon. We can easily pass meaningful campaign finance reform with things like House Bill 3343, the provisions of that bill, and then the public option with House Bill 2680, and we need people to get involved. And when that happens, we're going to see a complete change in our political system. It's happening across the states.
Before we wrap up, do you all have any final thoughts, anything we haven't gotten to cover yet?
I would just say that, echoing what Natalie said, this is a real opportunity that we have. Campaign finance has had such a instrumental and also detrimental impact on many communities. This is definitely the time to lean in. We have been through so much. We have been through so much as Oregonians. And this is a way to, as we're starting to see things kind of change and, you know, get a little bit better, this is a way to keep up that hope and keep the positive trajectory on what we know we deserve.
I just wanted to add that with all of the extraordinary challenges that we've been facing in our country, I think that this is the time for us to be doing exactly what we are doing in Oregon, which is lifting up the inspiring models for what democracy could be and what it should be, for the best standards, the best models for change around the country, for the healthiest democracies that we can have, because that is really what the future of our democracy depends on, and doing everything we can to get it done in Oregon. Because state by state, if we can pass these reforms, that's how we're going to get where we need to get in this country.
We've been speaking with members of the Honest Elections Coalition about campaign finance reform measures in the Oregon legislature. You heard Christina Nieves, the Associate Director of Common Cause Oregon, Nathalie Paravicini, Steering Committee Member of the Pacific Green Party, and Beth Rothman, the Money, Politics, and Ethics Director for Common Cause. Find more information online by emailing oregoninfo@commoncause.org. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.